The parity in training and equipment between the Army's active duty and reserve units grew especially during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, a period during which officials have proudly proclaimed that active and reserve units became undistinguishable from one another on the battlefield. That's beginning to change, even in advance of another round of budget cuts the military faces in October, says Lieutenant General Jeffrey Talley, the chief of the Army Reserve. While the active Army has readiness challenges of its own, he says the reserve forces are in danger of becoming less ready to deploy than their active duty counterparts. He warned the Senate on Wednesday that's a problem not just for the overall Army, but for all the military services, since the Army made the decision long ago to house many of its technical enabling capabilities in the reserve.
The decision some years ago to place the majority of the Army's combat support and combat service support capabilities in the Army Reserve committed the nation to maintaining the Army Reserve as an operational force. When sustained unified land operations are required, the Army as a service integrates and synchronizes all of America's military services, but they can only do so with the support of the United States Army Reserve, which provide most of the Army's critical technical enablers. Currently, our annual demand signal from the Army to meet contingent and combat requirements is about 27,000 soldiers. These are forces that must be maintained at the highest level of readiness. Unfortunately, the current model of 39 base-funded training days per year produces only a strategic, non-operational force. It's not sufficient to train, equip, and maintain the Army Reserve to meet mission requirements.
That's because the Army decided to increase the length of its combat training center rotations by 4 days without securing the funding needed to keep reservists in active status for that added period of time. So Talley says the Reserve could only meet the new standards by sacrificing training for lower-tier units. He argued, though, that the Army can't afford to give up its reservist training days at any level, since the Reserve is responsible for a bulk of the critical functions the service needs in a contingency, including medical, logistics, transportation, engineering, and civil affairs.
So the Army can't execute its mission globally, daily, contingent or combat, without the Army Reserve. So if we de facto become strategic, and I'm becoming strategic as we speak because of funding reductions, so I'm more worried about funding reductions and less resourcing to train and maintain that readiness, because the Army will fail its mission if I can't have my CS and CSS ready to go. So we can't afford in the Army to have the Army Reserve strategic. But for me, it's really more of an op-tempo funding issue as it is a force structure and end strength, although we probably should, I would argue, put a pause on reducing the total Army at all. And I think we had to hold the total Army where it is. I mean, just looking at what's going on around the world.
The active duty Army, currently sized at about 500,000 soldiers, is on a path to shrink to 450,000 by 2019. Under the Budget Control Act caps set to be triggered at the end of this fiscal year, the size would shrink further to 420,000. The Reserve is authorized 202,000, a figure that would drop to 185,000 under a return to sequestration. General Ray Odierno, the Army Chief of Staff, has already signaled that he, too, is uncomfortable with the current drawdown plan, given recent demands placed on his force by events ranging from the Ebola crisis to the invasion of Ukraine. The Army says that since its manpower-intensive budget can't shed personnel quickly enough to meet even previous rounds of budget cuts, other areas have taken a disproportionate toll. Besides training, modernization spending has been cut by about 25% across the Army. But Talley says as a proportion of overall modernization spending, the Reserve has been hit especially hard. It got less than a 5% share of the Army's overall procurement budget last year. Under the Pentagon's proposed budget for next year, that share would fall even further.
Today, the Army Reserve comprises 20% of the total Army, yet our share of the Army's equipping budget is less than 3%, which leaves little room for modernization and reduces interoperability within the force. And the third is our full-time manning. Currently, only 76% of the authorized requirements are filled, which jeopardize our ability to execute missions.
In last year's defense authorization bill, Congress created a commission to study the Army's future. It's already held its first meeting and selected former Army General Carter Hamm as its chairman. It's not due to report its findings until next February, but its decisions are expected to help shape Congress's decisions about how to allocate funding between all three elements of the Army, the active force, the National Guard, and the Reserve. General Frank Grass, the chief of the National Guard, urged members to hold off on any decisions about future drawdowns until the commission reports back.
This commission on the future of the Army has to look out 10 to 20 years and look at the Army, the ground force of the United States of America under sequestration and determine if that's what we need as a nation and an active guard reserve mix. Turbulence that's creating out in the force right now is going to have an impact on readiness, on people's lives, on our full-time manning. If we could wait till the commission reports out to make any changes, which I think the first time this body has an opportunity to impact that is in NDAA 17, that will reduce the turbulence at almost no cost.
That's because it costs the Army a significant amount of money to issue separation benefits and cover other costs for departing service members. Grass says delaying the Army's planned drawdown by 1 year, at least in the case of the National Guard, would pay for itself while keeping about 8,000 citizen soldiers in its ranks. In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.